Good morning. Yes, as Uncle Derek said, Michael and I were here for a few years as part of this church. So I know a lot of you, but some of you I haven't met yet. But it's really lovely to be here this morning. It's like coming home, so it's really good. So thank you for having me. Let's pray before we start. Dear Lord, I thank you so much that you've brought each one of us here this morning. Despite the rain, here we are together learning from you, reading your word and listening for what you have to say to us. Thank you so much for bringing us here. And I pray that you would speak through me, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit would work through me, that we might walk away feeling closer to you and wanting to live for you even more. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you heard the saying that every yes is a no to something else? Well, I reckon it's true. I mean, every choice we make comes at a cost. Well, that daily ice cream habit, well, it costs our waistline, right? That decision to become a parent, it costs our sleep for at least 5 years, I would say. That choice to start a DIY project, it cost our weekend and possibly a few fingers. That decision to get married, well, it costs you the freedom to leave the toilet seat up and the cap off the toothpaste. In life, we're always weighing up our losses versus our gains and seeking God's wisdom. There are many unknowns, and life is not always black and white. But today we're looking at gain versus loss from a Christian perspective. And the part of the Bible we're looking at today is written by Paul. He's a Jesus follower who knows a lot about giving things up for God. And here in this passage, Paul is saying that choosing God comes at a cost. But is it worth it? Let's find out. In Philippians 3:7-11, Paul writes, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I might gain Christ and be found in him. And not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." So here's a man who had it all. Paul, the Pharisee, was a respected leader, a Hebrew of Hebrews with top credentials. He was born into the right family, educated by the best rabbis, and had risen through the ranks of Jewish leadership. From many angles, Paul was on the up and up. When we think about people who seem to have it all, it can be easy to envy them. Take George Clooney, for example. He's an acclaimed actor, director, and producer with numerous awards, including Oscars and Emmys. He's also a successful businessman and humanitarian. Clooney is married to a beautiful human rights lawyer, and they have two children. They're known for their philanthropic efforts, particularly in Sudan. They seem to have it all, right? There's not much you can say against George Clooney. He's escaped controversy and he has achieved so much in his life. But I've got to ask, what does it all mean without Jesus? Paul had lots of success, lots of things he could be proud of from a worldly perspective. But when he met Jesus, everything changed. Paul gained something that made him label everything else he'd achieved as a loss. What he found in Christ made everything else seem like garbage. In verse 8, he describes what he's found. He's found the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul is saying that knowing Jesus is more valuable than all his previous gains. Paul had spent his whole life building a reputation, a career, a sense of self-worth. He was a Pharisee, one of the most respected groups within Judaism. He'd achieved the pinnacle of success. But then he meets Jesus, and suddenly all of these achievements seem kind of hollow, empty, worthless. Why? Well, because Paul discovered that life isn't about what you do. It's about your faith in Christ. It's about life after death as well. Verse 9 says we don't get God's approval from keeping the law. We get God's approval because we simply trust in him. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the message that changed Paul's life and can change ours. We often think we're good people because of the things we do, the things we achieve. We keep the rules, we attend church, we volunteer, and all these things are good. But Paul says that's not enough. We don't get acceptance from God because of the things we do. We don't get eternal life because of what we do. We get his acceptance and the promise of eternity with him when we choose to turn our back on our old life and put our faith in him. It's that simple. We hand over the keys to our life to God and trust him for the future. So what did Paul lose by choosing Christ? He lost his status, he lost his prestige, he lost his security, he lost all his comforts. He was beaten, he was imprisoned, and he was eventually martyred. Was it worth it? Well, Paul's answer is clear. I consider them garbage. Not just a loss, but rubbish. Worthless. Why? Because Paul had discovered the value of knowing Jesus. Have you found Jesus? And has your relationship with him changed your life? For a while, I've been following the career of John Owen, the CEO and pastor of Wayside Chapel in Sydney's eastern suburbs. As a young person, John's parents wanted him to choose a secure career path. Instead, he dropped out of his computer science and engineering degree and committed the next 20 years of his life to working with troubled communities. John has always worked in neighbourhoods which really need the hope of Jesus. In Mount Druitt, for example, he and his wife Lisa opened their homes to refugees, ex-cons, and others trying to shake off addictions. Today, John and Lisa lead a team of 1,000 volunteers and support those who are sleeping rough. They also support recovering drug addicts, domestic violence victims, and refugees. In his radical life choices, John lost his status, his prestige, and his security, and he essentially chose a life of poverty. Why? Well, because a life serving Jesus mattered more to him than the comfortable life his parents wanted for him. You might not be called to serve the poor in the way that John and Lisa were, but maybe there's something costly that God is calling you to do. Maybe for you it's saying no to a job that requires you to compromise your values. Maybe it's saying no to a relationship that's pulling you away from God. Or maybe it's saying yes to serving, yes to giving, yes to sacrificing for the sake of the gospel, and seeing that decision shape your faith rather than pulling you away from it. What's something perhaps you're holding on to that's keeping you from fully serving Christ? Is it comfort? Is it control over your life? Do you idolize security? We all have things that we cling to, things that give us a sense of identity and purpose or safety even in the worldly sense. But if they're getting in the way of a relationship with Jesus, we need to let them go or maybe rethink their place in our life. Because when we cling to these things, we're essentially saying, I don't need Jesus that much. We're saying, I've got this. The truth is we don't. We need Jesus. And when we let go of these things, we find something far greater. Verse 10 says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. This is the ultimate gain. This is the ultimate prize, to know Christ. To experience his power in our lives, to participate in his sufferings, and to be with him forever beyond our death. That's what it's all about. Because after all, Jesus is the ultimate example of sacrifice. He gave himself fully for us that we might live. As it says earlier in the book of Philippians, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus gave up everything for us. He made himself nothing. He became a slave. God became human. He lived a selfless, obedient life and died a selfless, obedient death. And because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far above anyone or anything. When we know Christ, we become like him. We take on his character, his compassion, his courage. We become more willing to surrender the life we thought we wanted and obey God instead, whatever that looks like. But what does it look like practically to surrender our will to God's? As we said earlier, every yes is a no to something else. Every choice we make has an effect on something else. When Paul said yes to Christ, he said no to his old life. He said no to his status, his prestige, his security. But what about us? What are we saying yes to, and what are we saying no to? The concept of gain and loss is central to the Christian life. Jesus says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it, in Matthew 16. In other words, true gain comes through loss. Paul understood this well. He wrote, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. For Paul, living for Christ meant losing everything else, but it also meant gaining everything that truly mattered. This is the paradox of the gospel. We lose our lives to find it. We surrender our will to discover God's will. And as we do this, we start to become more like Jesus. Every day we're faced with choices. Every day we're forced to weigh our gains against our losses. Do I spend my money on myself, or do I give it to someone in need? Do I spend my time on my own desires, or do I serve others? Do I prioritize my own comfort, or do I take risks for the sake of the gospel? When we choose to follow Christ, we're choosing to lose some things. But we gain the presence and guidance of Christ himself. Verse 10 says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. This is the ultimate gain. This is the upside down life of faith. This is the ultimate prize, to know Christ, to experience his power, to participate in his sufferings. And he is with us all the way, helping us to become more like him, to make better choices, because we don't do this faith journey alone. So let's make the exchange. Let's count our losses and as gain and gain Christ. Let's say yes to him, even if it means saying no to other things. Let's surrender our will to him. Let's lose our lives to find them. May you let go of the things that are holding you back. Let go of the things that are keeping you from Christ and gain him. Gain the one who loves you more than anything. Gain the one who gave up everything for you. Gain Christ. Before I finish today, I would like to give us an opportunity to reflect on what we might be holding on to. I'll just allow about 30 seconds to reflect and bring our thoughts before God and surrender those things to him. During this time, I'll invite you to close your eyes, because this is a time just for you and God. It's a chance for you to admit all the things, or maybe even just one of the things that you're holding on to. It might be the love of money. It could be a fear of what other people think about you. Or pride, thinking that you're better than others. It might be a relationship that isn't healthy. It might be an obsession with work. This is a chance to be honest with God, to come before him and say yes to a life surrendered to Jesus. So I'll give us a short time of quiet reflection, and then I'll conclude with prayer after a short time of silence. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today humbled by the example of Paul, who counted everything as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. Help us, Lord, to see the world through your eyes. Help us to see that true spiritual gain comes through loss. Forgive us for clinging to things that keep us from you. Forgive us for prioritizing our own desires over your will. We surrender to you today. We choose to let go of our need for control. We choose to let go of our desire for comfort. We choose to let go of our desire for worldly security or our pursuit of success. We say sorry for our idols. And we choose to say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to your will, yes to your way, yes to your forgiveness and redemption. Fill us with the knowledge of your presence. Fill us with the power of your resurrection. Help us to participate in your sufferings, that we might become like you in death. And when we face the choices of everyday life, give us the courage to say no to the things that distract us from you, and yes to the things that bring us closer to you and your heart for the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.